Psalm 127, verses 1 through 5. Got a lot of children here tonight, and we're thankful for that. And we thank God for the Awana ministry. But I just want to share three or four thoughts very quickly with you about children. Psalm 127, familiar verses that relate to children. And as we look, beginning in verse 1, he says, "Except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. Except the Lord keep the city, the watchman waketh but in vain. It is vain for you to rise up early, to sit up late, to eat the bread of sorrows, for so he giveth his beloved sleep. Lo, children are an heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is his reward. As arrows are in the hand of a mighty man, so are children of the youth. Happy, fulfilled, happy is the man that hath his quiver full of them. They shall not be ashamed, but they shall speak with the enemies in the gate." What God is saying to us here, that children are a blessing, and they're to be seen as a heritage that God has given. Not a problem, not a difficulty, but a blessing from Almighty God. A heritage from God. And let me just mention a few things that I think should be true when we think about a child being born and a child coming to the family and the responsibility of rearing that child. Number one is this, that they're an addition to the schedule, not an alteration. They should be an addition to the schedule, not an alteration. And you say, well, what in the world do you mean by that? Well, let me just put it this way. When a child is born, if you were accustomed to reading your Bible together as a husband and wife, because that child comes along, you should not quit doing that. They are an addition, not an alteration. They should not pull you away from God, but should be used to force you and to place you and to push you closer to Almighty God. And God intends for it to be that way. If you're faithful in church, when a child comes along, or children, you should remain faithful to go to church. I remember being on visitation one time with another gentleman. I was a student in the Bible Baptist Seminary, and I was out trying to get some experience with him, and I never will forget, as we went to this one home, and this lady had quit coming to church, and she had, I don't remember, four, maybe five children, a number of children, and so this worker was talking to her, and he said, you know, we've been missing you at church, you need to be back in church, and he was very kind about it, and he was telling her, you should be back in the Lord's house, and you should bring your children. Well, she began to talk about the children, and use the children as an excuse for not being in church. And I'll never forget what this man said to her, this assistant pastor and worker at Friendly Lane Baptist Church. He said to the woman, ma'am, and I think he called her name, I just hope and pray, and he smiled real big and said it kindly, that God doesn't take away any of your excuses. And boy, she had a peculiar look on her face. And you could just tell it had an impact on her. Now you may say that's cruel. I don't think so. I think he was trying to help her, and he realized the importance of her coming and bringing those children to church. And so he just said, ma'am, I hope God doesn't take any excuses away from you. Now, when we add children to our life, if that's in God's plan for us, it isn't for everybody. God allows them to come into our life. God does not allow them to come into our life to dominate our lives to the point that they pull us away from what we should be doing spiritually with the Lord Jesus Christ. Here's the second thing. Not only in addition to a schedule and not an alteration, but children should have parents who are godly examples. How many of you believe that? Say amen. Amen. They should have parents that are godly examples. All of these children that come to Awana's, unfortunately, some of them do not have mothers and dads that are godly examples. Well, our prayer is that they'll get saved. Our prayer is that if they hear tonight and they don't know Christ, that they'd come to Christ. And that Christ would save them, and then they would get in church and serve the Lord, and they would be a good, godly example for their children. Because you see, they grow up, and you can't always say you're going to church and you let the bus pick you up, and we're glad we do that and all of the other aspects, and they want us, but wouldn't it be far better if mom and daddy were saved? And there's only one way to be saved. Let me be clear, crystal clear about that tonight. It's not joining the church or your good deeds or all of those things. It is coming to grips with the fact that you're lost. You are a sinner. We are all sinners. Christ died for us. He paid the debt. And if we will receive him as our Savior and believe, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Salvation by grace through and by Jesus Christ, plus nothing, minus nothing. Coming to Christ, getting saved, you cannot be a godly example to your children. You might be a moral example to some degree, but you cannot be a full-fledged godly example to your children until first you're born again, until you get saved. I thank God a million times over I was reared in a family where my mother and daddy were Christians. What a blessing. We didn't have a lot of material things, but thank God we had food and clean clothes and a mom and daddy that loved Jesus Christ. And we didn't say, are we going to church? We just got ready on Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, prayer meeting night, and we were ready to go to church. And that was just the way it was around our house. And I had good mother and daddy who gave me great examples of what the Christian life was. And I think children ought to have that great privilege to have a mother and a daddy, both in that home, that are godly examples. Mom and dad, if you perchance are not that tonight, by God's grace, make up your mind and decide that that is vitally important in the life of your children and your family. A third thing, not only addition to the schedule and not an alteration, and children should have parents who are godly parents, but they should be given constant spiritual instruction. Amen. Train up a child. That means time and involvement. And the Bible gives us the promise of when they get old. Sometimes I think some of them is going to take until they're 80 or 90. But whenever they get older, they're not going to forget what you taught them. Train up a child. Deuteronomy 6:7. When thou sittest in thine house, when you're sitting around the house, that means you got to turn the TV off once in a while, right? And when thou walkest by the way, whatever you're doing, the thing, wherever you're going, use those opportunities. When thou liest down before you go to bed, tell them about Jesus. And when thou gettest up, when thou risest up. In other words, what he's saying there in Deuteronomy is constantly be using every experience of life to teach your children about God and about Jesus and about all of the things that pertain to God. I might add here that the place that our children should learn Bible doctrine should be at the home. That means that mother and daddy should learn the doctrine of angels, the doctrine of the Holy Spirit, the doctrine of Satan, the doctrine of salvation, the doctrine of baptism, you name it, all of the different doctrines that are vital, the doctrine of the Word of God, eschatology about the second coming of Christ, we should teach them that. And I've told you before, I thank God my grandmother had a little more time with me, and they lived with us, and she taught me about the second coming of Christ, his crucifixion, death, burial, and resurrection, and she taught me about the fact that Jesus was coming again. And ever since I was 8 years of age, I've known about the second coming of Jesus Christ in the two phases. And our children ought to know that. We need to train them and teach them and take time. You may have to invest in some literature. Buy something. Ask the pastor, what's a good book that is good that I can purchase and teach from that book, teach my children Bible doctrine. They're not going to get it all in Sunday school. They're not going to get it while I'm preaching. Usually, they're not going to be able to get all that. They'll get some of it. But we need to teach and train our children. It's very important. And then children should be secondary to their parents' relationship to God and to each other. Amen. Now, the second part of that, some of you may not agree with, but I do believe it's biblical. Children should be secondary to their parents' relationship to, or to their relationship to God and the relationship to each other, their parents. You see, mothers and dads and wives and husbands, listen. Those children are not always going to be with you. And you need to keep up that relationship that is a good relationship, a husband and wife relationship in that marriage. Because one of these days, they're going to bail out of the nest and be gone. And some of you are going to say, what do we do now? Because you hadn't been doing what you should have been doing during those years. Don't forget each other, and don't let the children so predominate everything that you forget to take care of each other's needs. Amen. That's vitally important in every aspect of the marriage. And that's something that every once in a while, I mean, if you have children, you need to, and I might add grandchildren, some of your grandparents ought to say, no, we're not going to keep them this weekend. Mama and I are going out. We've got a date, and we're going out to eat. We're going to relax and have a nice time. And I think husbands and wives should do that every once in a while. Get a babysitter. God will watch over your little children, and you go out and have some perhaps fellowship and activity around a meal or whatever it is. It's a nice thing to do that. And the relationship needs to last, and it will, long after the children are gone. I've seen some parents, absolutely, the wife and the husband neglect each other just for the children's sake. And I'm not saying you shouldn't sacrifice and all of that, but I'm saying don't forget each other, because it's very important that you remember each other. And then serve God with your children. I think that's a good thing to do. Serve God with your children. Where did the idea come from that we've always got to be doing something else with our children to have family time? Why not serve God together and have family time? Wouldn't that be good? Go on the bus route together. Visit the Sunday school class people together. Serve the Lord together. Do some things together that are ministry for the Lord. And that's good family time. I don't know of any time it's any better family time than when you go out together to do something for the glory of God. Not only that, I mean, that's a whole lot better than staying home and watching some dumb television program or some other activity that comes that is around, a Disney movie or whatever else. Nothing wrong with some of those things. But I'm just saying that family is important. And why not involve the family in the service of God? That will put you in the service of God and put them in the service of God and give them some great training as they go into serving the Lord, showing them how to do it. I might add, too, that whenever you go on vacation, a good thing to do is always go to church. But don't leave God when you go on vacation. Amen? Amen? Now, leave your tithes, but don't leave God when you go on vacation. But it's good when we would go on vacation. It's so tempting to just stay there in the motel room and relax and not get dressed and go. But it's always a good thing to do. And we had some great experiences while we were on vacation of getting ready, going to church, and hearing what God had to say. Serve God with your children, and don't let anything come in between you and that. And then I think the child ought to see the privilege of obedience. In other words, the good that comes when you obey the Lord. And they should also be able to see the price that has to be paid for disobedience. Now, I won't enlarge on that very much because we preached on that this morning. And sufficient to the cause is what the message was this morning. But I'm just saying to you that your children need to know this. They need to know that they are rewarded for good and there is punishment for bad. And you're not going to do that being a pacifistic mother or daddy. Listen, a little switching never hurt anybody. And I don't think you ought to hurt them or abuse them physically. That's wrong. But a spanking and the right thing, they need to know. And they'll get the impression, dads, from you as to who God really is. And if they think they can get away with murder at home, they think they can get away with murder when they hit 17 and 18, get away from home. And the next thing you know, they have murdered somebody and they're in prison. You see, we need to let them know the privilege of obedience and the price of disobedience. In other words, teach them to obey God. And then children need to learn some things. They need to learn to give of themselves. They need to learn to serve and gain spiritual insight for themselves. You need to train them that they are able to do that. We live in a very selfish society, don't we? And I'm telling you, sometimes some children think that the whole world revolves around nobody but them. Just them. You need to teach your children there's somebody in the world besides them. I thank God that some of our families and some of our deacons, their children, they go out. They take them with them. And they help them. They get them to help widows out. Help them fix something, mend something, put on a door, cut down a tree, cut down some limbs, or do some painting. I think that's great. I think that's good. It teaches them there's something more important than just themselves. We've raised, I'm afraid, a lot of very selfish children. They think that everything in life is about them. We need to give them the information that serving is blessed of God, and that to give of yourself is far more important than to always be taking in. Prepare them when they're on their way out your door to make the right choices in life. Set them up for that. And by all means, the number one thing is lead them to Jesus Christ. Amen. Bring them to a place where they have to face the question, what am I going to do with Jesus? And I think it's far better if you can lead them to Christ at a reasonably early age. Well, not only is a soul saved, but thank God a life is saved, and a lot of heartaches and scars are not there because of that. Lead them to Christ at an early age. Teach and train them that they may be approved workmen that are not ashamed of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's stand, please. Every head is bowed. Maybe God has spoken to your heart about something tonight. I miss not having the children in here on Sundays a lot of times. I do miss that, but let me tell you, children, tonight, listen to the pastor. If you've never been saved, and you know what I'm talking about, tonight would be a good night for you to come to Christ. If you're here as a parent and you've never been saved, tonight would be a great time for you to come to Christ. You may live way away from here. I don't know what the situation may be. But the thing is, you need to be saved. Boys and girls, if you hadn't been saved, come tonight. If you understand what I'm talking about, you're a sinner. Christ died for you, and you want to receive Him as your Savior, come tonight. Mom and Dad, maybe you need to come tonight. And maybe there's some things in our lives, in our home, in our families, that we need to do a better job of for the glory of God. Father, speak to us. We thank You for Awanas. We thank You for the fact that we have these children. And we, as we study Your life, Lord Jesus Christ, we know You love children. And You said, suffer the little ones to come unto Me, for of such is the kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven. And I pray tonight, if there are any children here that need to be saved and You're dealing with them, that they'd have the courage to step out and be saved. There are some mothers and daddies here, and maybe brothers and sisters that need to be saved. And I pray that they would, God. And help us to be wise enough to follow the teachings of the Scripture and to do these things that are so vitally important in our relationship with our children that are a heritage, a gift from You. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. Will you come tonight if God's spoken to your heart? We have our invitation, maybe to pray for your mother and daddy, maybe to thank God for them, maybe to come and perhaps pray for a wayward child that you might have, whatever it may be, I don't know. But to be saved, to come to Christ, to correct things that you might, God might have touched your heart about tonight in your family, that you might want to make those things right or do a better job of what God has showed you tonight. Will you come while we sing?